Ladies and gentlemen, we are live!
This is the big leagues, okay?
Yeah, step it up.
You're riding the pine.
There's little kids in Australia who want to play cricket, and they're listening to TJ and I talk about sports, say, God, one day I can be talked about on Riding the Pine with Kyle and TJ. And I are on the internet. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's worldwide.
Okay. Well, you have no idea.
With Kyle and TJ.
We're also incredibly modest.
Yeah, we are. We don't have egos, big heads. Listen, we're the best. And if there's anybody else out there trying to stake claim to that, you got to tell. We'll tell them they're wrong.
Sometimes when you're the fight you.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you're the best, you're the best.
Tonight,
and that's just the way it is.
We are going to witness the most anticipated match in the history of professional wrestling.
TJ and I, we're grinding away. We're pros. To be honest with you, we pulled off the weeks before you. We'll pull off the weeks well after you're gone.
Who knows what'll take your life.
And we'll pull off the weeks, you know, in the middle when you decide to take random vacations.
Here on this rugged patch of earth called Plataea, Xerxes hordes face obliteration! Just there, the barbarians huddle. Sheer terror gripping tight. Their hearts, with icy fingers, knowing full well what merciless horrors they suffered at the swords and spears of three...
Listen up, Rome. Your time's past, chump. Move it along. You were in the jungle. Cute. You know what that was clever? 96. It's 2012, guys.
We're showing them it's 2012.
Yeah, Rome.
Get out of here.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Joining you from the far end of the bench, near the water cooler, in overtime, before extra innings, you get the point. Here's Kyle and TJ.
Russ, what can you do for the team?
You never heard of my knuckle puck?
I feel like we say this every time. I'm just that seasoning, man. You're the steak, I make the steak even better. I'm the seasoning on top.
It's knuckle puck time!
He winds up! He scores!
Nothing's going to keep this down.
Nairtai has been trying to keep us down.
Yes, he has.
But
yes,
we won't let him. We will not let him kill this thing.
Before we get into it, could I get one small adjustment
in
the back?
Sure? No, the thing is I don't want someone to poke their head in and not be able to see us this week, Kyle.
What? You may be right, TJ. Lord forbid we go unrecognized by facial features. By someone sticking their head through a porthole window.
Very tense meeting in the hallway before we recorded.
Ooh, very uncomfortable.
It was.
Very uncomfortable.
You could cut that space between us with a knife.
Yeah. After the quick demise of the episode 2 weeks ago, there has been no contact between the intruder and myself. And TJ and I happened around a corner, and I figured something was likely because I knew where person's office was, and sure
Dude.
Enough, and you know, I'm assuming you listened to the last episode. Now, it wasn't directly addressed, but it was mentioned that, and you probably noticed the insanely choppy edit there of where it went. There's no noise, and then we came back on. That's because we had to remove about 3.5 minutes of audio of me fighting somebody because he didn't recognize my facial features through a window.
Yeah, we can't make it up. Well, we should have maybe left it in. Honestly, that was great fighting.
In hindsight, for other reasons, I should have saved that audio to give to other people, but that's for...
Maybe dude would...
it was dumb of me to delete it, but it was so far from my mind at that point that I just... I just erased it. I just wanted to get the podcast done.
We just had to defend our honor.
It's kind of like what we mentioned when they were staring through the window. You know, we're almost done.
Yeah.
Done in a minute. That's all.
They'll be done in 2 minutes. You can get right in.
There's actually a time. Like, 2 minutes. You know, no worries. Go take one lap around the square. Come back. We'll probably be done. You know, no biggie. But whatever. That's all in the past. This is a fresh week.
Okay. So you want me to dim these things down then?
Yeah, I wonder if actually we could climb up and move one of those track lights. So he always has a just a spotlight on us.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
But until then.
It's like we said, all homeless vagrants always wander into this building and immediately know how to use the radio equipment.
Well, listen, if I'm ever homeless, I'm going to tell you, the first thing I'm going to consider to get back on my feet is a podcast. Okay?
Absolutely.
That's how you do it.
That's dollars and cents, boys. There is success equated in podcasts.
I think I learned that in business school.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that was in the first textbook you had to pay $100 for.
$100? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Where are you buying your textbooks? I believe I paid $1,000 for mine, so.
You know, if that sound is unfamiliar to you, that's because.
It's just going to hit him with that.
That's because that's Nader Todd, everybody.
Hey, welcome.
Nader Todd made it back. He finally got up. Decided to postpone his afternoon nap this week.
No, I took it earlier.
Oh, good. Good. Mommy put him down for nap a little earlier today so he could make it.
Yep.
We're glad to
I'm
have
back,
you.
I'm back, Michael.
We're glad to have
I'm
you.
I'm back, Michael, on Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know what? That's a deserved beating.
It was. And you want to know what? That's why I didn't comment back to your post, because it was deserved.
Yeah,
I know when it's deserved and when it's not, and that was deserved.
One of those you just accept.
I just accept and move on.
It's hard to
hashtag wheels up fifth floor.
Yeah. Well, you guys did make it up, and
yeah.
we're glad to have you, Nate.
And
you know what, Nate, TJ and I, we as usual. I mean, I guess I shouldn't say no problems because that's the first time. But no problem of our own doing.
Yeah.
No problem of our own doing.
Like I told you before we started recording. After I had woken you from your slumber, you definitely took it on the chin a few times there.
Yeah. It was just unexpected.
Deserved.
You know, we had a time, we had
deserved.
A place, and the place hasn't changed, so the only thing that does is the time. But
hey,
we were all agreed.
You make mistakes in your life, and you have to live with those mistakes, and I made one last week, a couple weeks ago.
I just won't forget sitting across his table from TJ, hearing him on the phone, and just hearing... You, like a bear, awoken from hibernation. Like,
yep.
You had a blanket over your head and, like, you know, your nose, like, yeah. Oh, God, he's not coming. Could have told you that.
I'm sorry. I'm just going to take this because there's no, it was all mine. My bad.
That's all right.
Right.
That's
here,
right.
On
we
me.
Plowed through. Although it would have been
it's like
nice.
The NBA when you know they do a bad play, they tap their chest. All me.
Although
that was all me.
Maybe that would have made a big difference in the argument of 2013. Is Nader Todd being here?
If I was here, I would have ripped my shirt off and chested the guy up and said, "You want to go right now? Right now?" It'd been right. I am hockey all over again.
My God.
You want to go?
My God, Nate, that shirt came off easily. Did you have that pre-ripped like Hulk Hogan?
Now you know. We did have to break out the discussion again of removing you from every shred of podcast evidence we have because you've really put the brakes on this whole this whole production. And again, I'm sorry about that. If that's what you have to do, that's what you have to do.
Well, it's all right. DJ and I talked about it. We're on a no-frills policy. It's
We're not accommodating you anymore.
No. We will send one request, and if there is one agreed upon time, that will be the time from here forth.
A time of colonized choosing.
Yes, and you adapt. You adapt or die,
or
sir.
Or die. What are you going to do? Are you a fighter? You a survivor?
I tell you what I think you are.
I'm a survivor. I'm going to get it. I'm going to stop walking. I'm going to work harder.
Oh, okay.
That's the three girl. Destiny's Child, not the four.
That's old school.
No, that's new school.
Well, that's
old
new
school
old.
Is four.
Okay.
New old is three.
That's true.
And then
that's very true.
New old is Super Bowl Destiny's Child, I guess. Yeah, Kyle, get with your 90s girl bands.
How could I ever forget? Well, we do have a lot to get to today. A couple stories that we're not really going to cover because they're mainstream news and in that regard, they're pretty timely, and I don't think that our input will make a difference in a couple of days when this is, you know, when you're listening to this. So, obviously, the Aaron Hernandez thing going on, very, very serious issue there for Hernandez.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it started off as literally, I remember watching, I think it was ESPN News, and you know, they have the ticker on both sides, and it just kind of popped up that said, oh, they just want to talk to him. You know, they found a car associated with him. Immediately as I read, a car associated with him, you automatically assume highly paid athletes in today's day and age, however sad it may be, have an insane entourage. You know, I just assumed, well, one of his boys went and did something stupid, you know, and that was what I let it go. But now, you know, very recently, developments that say, well, maybe Aaron Hernandez shot someone in the back of the head and killed him.
Yeah.
There, I would say that right now, if Aaron Hernandez was behind me, hypothetically with a gun, I would flip a coin. I do not know how I'd answer. It's a coin toss whether he did this or not, or I think it's safe to say he's definitely associated with it. There's no question.
I see this going the Ray Lewis route where he gets off because he destroyed everything. He had his whole house cleaned, so there's no evidence. Everything is circumstantial at this point, Kyle.
Yeah.
You can't arrest a man on circumstantial evidence.
No, you can't. I've seen enough Law and Order to know that you need some physical evidence.
The Patriots will go to the Super Bowl for a reason. Really, Hernandez will get the love, but we'll get into this later of why they will actually win the Super Bowl this year. And he'll be the MVP. Mm-hmm. He'll become God's mouthpiece. He'll have a series of motivational tour dates and tapes. People will listen to him on cassettes in their car.
Aaron Hernandez's demons can only do so much to even remotely affect the high power that will ride the Patriots' wave to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And we'll get into it later.
That's a tease.
That's how the pros do it.
Aaron Hernandez has obviously seen every Law & Order episode of every spinoff, including every murder TV show on there as well, and knows what to do.
Oh, yeah.
He's watched enough TV. He knows.
Smash the phone, get rid of the cameras, bleach the house, burn it down.
Bury my computer so no one can find it. What else do I need to do? Just bleach everywhere. Yeah. Just bleach.
All right, somebody get an open flame. I got to burn my fingerprints off.
Yeah, everything does seem a little heavy-handed in this case. Yeah. This destruction of evidence and bringing in a cleaning crew. You could be a little more subtle about these things. You could do it yourself.
Yeah.
But, football players are not.
They're not all there.
No.
I mean, and this isn't the first incident. TJ mentioned it off the air here that he is in the middle of a lawsuit for shooting someone in the face as well. Guy lost an eye. I believe that was a friend of his as well. So apparently the safest place in the world is to be the enemy of Aaron Hernandez. Because that way he won't shoot you.
Who doesn't shoot their friends in the face? I gotta say, man, those crazy nights, Nate, where we would go out in the backyard and play Russian roulette, that was something.
That's what I do to spend my time, you know, my free time. I'm walking, you know, I could read a book, I could watch a movie, I could, you know, go hit the gym. You know what? Let me go fire a weapon aimlessly around, hopefully with family and friends in the vicinity.
Well, you know what, Kyle? Bullets are cheaper than movie tickets.
True.
So economy.
Yeah.
It's bad.
You're saving the economy.
I think we've learned something from Aaron Hernandez and Plexico Burris. It ain't a party until you bring your piece out.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. We can only hope that this Aaron Hernandez piece was also some convoluted, stupid gun that didn't have a safety on it.
Yeah, because, you know, guns aren't made with safety. So.
Yeah. So we can only hope. But that's obviously developing. More on that will be in the days to come, I'm sure. And then also, the NBA Finals winding down.
No one cares.
Oh, boy.
An electric Game 6, guys.
I will just say this, though. Remember when we did our two-minute roundtables, I did predict Spurs Heat Final.
Spot on.
Spot on.
Game 6 was really a good game.
Was it?
Yeah, I actually watched the closing minutes of it. Outside of the unreal implosion of the Spurs offense to do anything, and what looked to me like Greg Popovich calling playground basketball plays, you know, a really well done game. You don't give up a 5-point lead with 28 seconds left.
Like,
I should
usually
be able to turn my TV off at that point.
Actually, a lot of the Heat fans left.
Heat fans did leave.
And then they had to call the cops because they were pounding on the doors to get back inside.
Yeah.
So the stadium had to call the cops and cart these people, these Fairweather fans, out of the stadium.
Well, what had already happened was they'd already left the arena with their shirts off. So they, you know, just to throw them away, because why do you need it? Just get a new one next year, you know, big three. And, so they found out it was close. They ran back to the pro shop. They all bought new jerseys, and they were all pounding on the doors to get back in.
they took him out of the trash.
Yeah.
They put him back on, and they were like, no, I just went out to go smoke.
Yeah. You have to let me back in. I'm a diehard Heat fan. Wait, who's that white guy with the tattoos?
Wait, no, I just got stuck in traffic. It's crazy out here, guys.
Yeah, I'm just getting here. What's going on?
God, haven't you ever had to step outside and do a line of blow off a stripper before? I swear, it's like Nazi
is this
Germany
Miami,
here.
Or is this North Dakota? Out of my way, 5-0. and also the Stanley Cup Finals in the midst of what feels like a 13-year playoff.
It has been a really long one.
Have
it's
they
everything...
not already played more in the playoffs than they have in the regular season?
It really feels like it.
It really does.
It feels like the hockey playoffs have been going on for months.
It feels like there's times where they'll schedule for a television audience, and then the next game will be totally ignoring the television. All right, we're going to wait from Monday until Friday, and we're going to play this Friday game, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to play Tuesday at 10:30 on the West Coast, okay? I would love to see whoever is in their PR office try to spin that in a positive. Oh, yeah, our playoffs only take 2.5 months a year.
Dude, as much as the diehard hockey fans loved that triple overtime first game,
mm-hmm.
I think that game is going to kill the ratings for this series because everyone's going to be like, oh, 5-hour hockey game?
No.
Snooze. Yeah. I'm out of here.
Yeah, absolutely terrible. Ugh. But you'll say that's in the and from everything I read, is it's a good series.
Yes, very good.
Yeah. Not watching it. Won't watch it.
I haven't watched it either. I'm one of those people who likes hockey, but that 5-hour game really just turned me off.
It's too long.
I'm just not into it. I don't want the hockey games to go to overtime. I just want them to be done in 3 periods.
I know.
Let's go.
And I understand that you don't want a playoff hockey game to end on a shootout, but there must be another way to do this.
Absolutely
other
not.
Than repeated
Absolutely not.
20-minute
Absolutely
playoffs.
Not.
Oh, we almost had a cleaning crew.
Oh, boy.
I think we might. But there must be another way to do it.
No.
Then you are simply...
This is the thing. The 5-3 overtime and advanced... Oh, God, this cleaning crew.
And, yep, there it is.
Another sales member was just ejected.
Did you guys hear that? That's a sales staff.
But this guy, different than the other guy, from what I heard, I just simply gave him a wave and he goes, oh, sorry, and he walked out the door.
Still. I can promise you that'll probably happen again.
Yeah. Okay, let's just go on to the stories. I lost what we were talking about.
Well, you were describing to me why overtime and 5-hour hockey games are good for fans.
Because you never get 3 overtime or longer games. You get those once in a blue moon.
How much do you realize
that overtime game was the longest overtime game in this entire playoffs?
It's still too long.
Then don't watch it.
I'm like the majority of Americans. We're not.
Okay.
Don't worry.
You want to know what? Fine. Fine. Do that. I don't care. Don't watch.
Until the NHL remedies this absurd timeliness.
Don't watch.
This is what hockey...
This militant hockey fan attitude is what kills the sport.
Nobody likes hockey
like soccer fan. You're like, you just don't get it, guys.
You're looking at us and you're going, it's good. It's good. Like it. It's good. It's not good.
Shut your mouth and like it.
You don't like 5-hour hockey games? Yeah.
You don't like the intensity to know that the game could stop in a moment like that?
Oh, my God. Hardcore hockey fan is soccer fan.
It's terrible.
It is.
I actually am trying to figure out who I hate more, hardcore soccer fan or Nate right now. It's, again, coin
hate
toss.
Me. Hate me. I don't care. Hate me.
I'm hockey fan. We don't change for anybody.
There's a lot of other things about Nate to hate, so.
Hate me.
I think he wins.
As a whole package, I think Nader Todd takes the victory.
Your punctuality, that's a big thing.
Ooh, yeah. But until the NHL does something to change it, you know, a Monday night, I'm sorry, but the majority of hockey fans, diehard hockey fans, aren't going to stick around on a Monday or whatever weeknight until 12:30 in the evening.
You know
it's
just
unreal.
You know what they need, Kyle? Shirts on every seat.
Difference.
Working for the NBA.
Difference maker. the Pacers. I mean, all of Indiana was out there. And now Miami, just in droves. Have you seen Miami's t-shirt campaign?
Mm-hmm.
98% of Miami Heat fans don't understand their t-shirt. It says, 16 wins to Larry. Nobody understands that the Larry O'Brien Trophy is the NBA champion.
Because they just started watching basketball 3 years ago.
And they had another shirt about "We love Larry," and I'm sure these this is cute, you know. T-shirt.
Wait, is this cotton? Ooh, yeah. No, it doesn't breathe.
T-shirt campaigns really doing it. That's a really really big hitter for it.
Doing it.
Well, moving on, we have a rash of stories to tell you this week, and we're going to get started off with, you know, I can't explain why I have not liked this person. I'm not a big tennis fan. I wouldn't even call myself a casual tennis fan, nor an acquaintance.
I've said this many times. I will not watch tennis. I will barely play tennis. And when I do play tennis, it will not be tennis. It will be home run derby every time.
Tennis racket, tennis ball, see how far I can hit it.
I enjoy playing tennis. I actually kind of enjoy watching tennis a little bit. And when I do play tennis, it does resemble what you watch on television.
This is another reason to hate Nate.
But anyway, no, I get what you're saying about Serena. Talking about Serena Williams. I don't know why I don't like her. I shouldn't. She seems like a nice person.
No, she doesn't. She's had a lot of run-ins that are not positive or endearing. Where
really? Because I don't really pay attention.
I remember
to her.
I believe it was about 3 years ago now. She threatened. She said, "I'll effing kill you" to a U.S. Open official. There we have it. There's the dual winner of the cleaning crew coming in the door.
Let's keep it going. Keep it going, Kyle.
But so she threatened kill, and I believe she was suspended and fined, a sum of money, which for her
Johnny,
is nothing.
Johnny McEnroe does that. So.
Yeah. Well, I don't think
it was cute back in the 70s and 80s. Not now.
She comes off as unpleasant, I think. Not very endearing to most people. She has a reputation that precedes her, I think. Well, there was an expose, I guess. I believe it was Rolling Stone that was interviewing her long form. And the interview took place, I believe, 2 months ago. Right around the height of the Steubenville, Ohio rape case, which was pretty national news.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. You know, it was high school football being shielded by its
presence. Ohio football.
We're going to get off what seemed, you know, they rubbed it. It was a pretty serious rape case. If you're not familiar with what we're talking about, look it up.
They bragged about it on social media.
There were photographs taken. Well, turns out the three perpetrators are going to prison. They were found guilty, and I don't believe it was a very long deliberation. But they are going to prison, and this was happening while the Rolling Stone writer was interviewing Serena Williams, and she had it on the television, and she made an offhand—I don't know if it was offhanded remark. Let me pull out the exact words, because I don't want to mince words about what she actually said. But she said, the interviewer asked her, she said, "Do you think it was fair what they got? They did something stupid, but I don't know. I'm not blaming the girl." Now, that right there, why is your publicist not in the room literally sprinting to throw something at her head or at the interviewer's head?
That phrasing, I'm not blank, but blank.
Yeah.
Trouble, no
you're
matter what.
Nope. You're not blaming the girl, but that's what you're about to do.
Trouble, no matter what. I'm not racist, but.
It's a lose, lose, lose.
Where's your agent just jumping on the television, knocking it over, punching the cameraman to rip down cameras, video recorders, audio recorders, and just like, broke it in half.
Weapon. I don't care. Do something to stop this interview when this even comes up, honestly.
Weird fire drill. Oh, that's, bad
Can
timing.
Can you believe that? Oh, man, look at the sprinklers are on. Unbelievable. So they did something stupid, but I don't know. I'm not blaming the girl. But if you're a 16-year-old and you're drunk like that, your parents should teach you. Don't take drinks from other people. She's 16. Why was she that drunk where she doesn't remember? It could have been much worse. She's lucky. Obviously, I don't know. Maybe she wasn't a virgin, and this is where she got into some trouble. But she shouldn't have put herself in that position.
I think
unless they slipped or something, then that's different.
Oh, yeah, big difference.
There's really a lot working here with this statement. The one that catches my attention is the she's 16. Why was she that drunk where she doesn't remember? Yeah. I don't know, Serena, because she's 16. This is probably the first time she's drank.
It's not going to take very much. She's also not a 175-pound semi-behemoth tennis player like you are.
Maybe Mama and Papa Williams got you started on the bourbon early, but I swear to God, it's not normal for most people.
That's the way she would soothe as a child, a nice malt, single malt scotch.
To go along with that, I feel like, does Serena Williams know what the legal drinking age is? I feel like she thinks it's, you can drink when you're 16.
Yeah. I mean, listen, what her getting that drunk, obviously, I don't think she would make that decision again. But also to say, I don't know, she put herself in a position to be raped.
I don't know, Serena, have you ever been to a party and maybe had a few too many drinks?
Yeah.
It happens to nearly every person on the planet.
Every time I hear what she says, I assume she's been drinking. That's just the way it goes. Well, needless to say, that's not why we bring this up. That was egregious enough in my book, but her apology really stood out to me, and I mentioned this to you guys right before we started recording, that this is the least apologetic apology I think I've ever read.
That's something, because it seems like one of these unapologetic apologies comes out every week.
Now, we're not going to read the entire statement because it's a lot of BS. That's mainly what this apology is, so I'll get you right to the meat and potatoes of it. What was written, what I supposedly said, is insensitive and hurtful, and I by no means would say or insinuate that she was at all to blame. Well, it certainly seems like you definitely did that.
What was written? Oh, you mean what you said and was quoted?
This is one of
what you said on television?
Yeah. This is one of those you can't... She's trying to pull the, it's taken out of context, and, that darn media... That darn media did it again.
That and the whole, I'm sorry I said it. Not sorry about the words.
No.
Yeah.
No.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Because she wouldn't have said that if she didn't honestly believe that. Someone obviously got to her and said, wow, you really messed up right there, Serena. Yeah. So let's spin this a little bit. Every athlete's things. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry if anyone got offended by me saying that.
That's not an apology.
No.
When you say, I'm sorry you were offended, that's not an apology. That's a backhanded insult to that person.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, you thin-skinned ninny. Taboo-hoo.
As someone who has personally used that, I'm sorry you were offended.
Oh, yeah.
Or I'm sorry you took it that way.
I feel like when...
That's bad. That's trouble.
I feel like... People like you and I, when we use that, though, we know what we're doing.
Oh, I do.
We're calling them babies. That's what we're doing. But in this case, so yeah, that was the one line that bugged me. And then Nader Todd, you mentioned the other line that really bothered me. She mentions that she's currently reaching out to the family to let her know that, quote, I am deeply sorry for what was written in the Rolling Stone article. She's not sorry for what she said. She's sorry it got written down on paper and now she's having to pay the piper for it.
Mm-hmm. She's sorry that she's being barraged with hates and probably threats on Twitter.
Oh, I can't imagine the level of vitriol being spewed at her right now. And probably, I would say it's semi-granted. Like I said, I came in with a little bit of a I don't like her attitude anyway. But when you read something like that, just give your apology. Like, don't make it this half-assed BS nonsense. I'm sorry for what was written. And, you know, to follow that, to finish this thought, I subscribe to ESPN the magazine, and they release a money issue every year where they discuss, advertising. Well,
yeah.
there was a mention of athletes that are overvalued and undervalued. And Serena Williams, they said, oh, yeah, she is. She's making about one half or one third of what she should be making in terms of advertising dollars. And the big question was, why? Why? Mm. Take a look at what she says and what she does in public. She threatened to kill an official at a tennis match where she's already going to make millions of dollars anyway. And then she pulls a stunt like this. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, she may be a great athlete and she may be an attractive human being, but guess what? You're not good with the media, and the media controls the dollars.
Yeah, yeah, you're terrible. And I don't want any of that BS about, I don't want the limelight. You became a professional athlete worth, for millions of dollars. You know you're getting the limelight, so don't play the card of, just leave me alone, media. I don't want any attention.
Your sister manages to stay out of the spotlight.
Well,
because she's ugly. Her sister's ugly. That's why she stays out of the limelight.
Because she's ugly. And
wow, that was fast.
He had that ready.
Yanked that mic right out of my mouth.
He had that thing ready.
He was sitting on that one just waiting to pounce.
Now, moving on to our, well, I guess it's almost, at this point, it kind of feels like it's a mandated soccer reference. For me, it honestly feels like we have more weeks where we mention we don't want to talk about soccer than we actually don't talk. We talk about soccer a lot of weeks. Maybe we're soccer fans, guys.
No, we're not soccer fans. This is the thing. This is not an X's and O's podcast. This is an entertainment and ridiculousness podcast. And what other sport has more ridiculous behavior than soccer?
Absolutely. Now, if this were an X's and O's podcast and we talked about soccer, I would draw a big rectangle with a ton of circles and X's, and I would just draw straight lines to the other side of the field. How do you coach soccer? Run faster? Shoot harder? What do you do?
As someone who did play soccer, I will say I was never coached. That's what it was. It was run to the ball and then, you know, get open and pass if you want. But
oh, yeah. Let's
just try and score.
Let's draw a play. Here's a play. Kick it over defender's head. Our guy will run up to it, kick it in the net. Difficult? I think not.
Here's what I never understood about soccer. Sometimes when they show shots of the bench looks like mini stadium seats, but the seats aren't like regular, like folding chairs you see in the NBA or like the bench you see in hockey. They're like sports racing car seats, like you would see in Fast and Furious.
Like bucket seats?
Yes, yes. I never understood that, and I never understood why they need to be like bleachered style. Why can't you just set them straight across? I mean, what's wrong with that?
It sure feels like every other sport's done it fine, and then soccer said, well, that's stupid.
And then,
let's make this a movie theater experience with sound in the seats.
And then
everything.
To top it off, it looks like they're in a bus stop because they have that whole canopied cover with the walls, glass.
It's got, in the pantheon of stupid soccer things. That's there, but for me, it's below a lot.
Yeah, it is. Every time the ball's kicked, you get a little vibration in your seat.
I do. I want a motion seat. Oh, how awesome would that be? Feel like we're going around. Oh, that'd be sweet. Well, one of the biggest things that people have a problem with soccer, and it's become a problem in basketball to a degree that's almost laughable now, too, is flopping. Now, soccer's been doing it longer, and I would argue far more superior.
Way better.
Far superior in their flopping. It's you see them all the time, and this is one of those. It's a gif of a soccer player flopping, because when you get caught doing it, you should be ashamed, and there should be a yellow card assessed or some type of penalty assessed, because it's unacceptable. It so affects the game. This is why people don't like soccer, because when these people, these tuned athletes who sprint miles and miles and miles during a 90-minute match, flop down after not getting touched and grab any part of their body they feel would get the game stopped, it's inexcusable. So this is won by, this is a Brazilian, so I'm sure he's very good. Because you don't play soccer for Brazil unless you're the best.
That's true.
That is?
That's true, Kyle.
Listen, I had an NES game, okay? And it was called World Cup Soccer. And you wanted to be Brazil. You didn't want to be Morocco. Okay? No. You want to be Brazil.
Sorry, Tahiti.
Yeah.
Not interested.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's cute, New Zealand. Go play rugby. Okay?
Just nodding. Got bobblehead Nate over here. Yep. I agree.
Big contributions coming from that end of the table today.
Hey, you're spitting truth, and I'm agreeing with it. I never played said game, but I believe you.
Mm-hmm. So, this guy named Neymar? Let's go Neymar. This Brazilian soccer player. It's just a quick clip.
Oh, wait. I'm going to cut in. Of course it's one name. That's a big thing with soccer players. They just have one name. You don't have a first name and a last name. It's just one name.
Pele.
Messi,
Ronaldinho.
Yeah.
Ronaldo.
What's the other guy over in Portugal?
Ronaldo.
Oh.
I don't know
soccer people.
Beckham.
Yeah, Beck.
Yeah. So Neymar.
Yeah.
That's one short driver's license. Neymar.
Yeah. And
it's like
you
McLovin.
See him, he's dribbling the ball. I think is that what they call it in soccer? Dribbling?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's
you probably used the wrong terminology. It's probably like I can't even make up a word because, you know, it's not a goalie, it's a keeper. It's,
oh,
it's
yeah.
the pitch. They probably have some douche term like that
You're
for
a goalie on a soccer field. Call yourself something different.
Yeah, it would be whatever sounds the most douchey if you type in dribbling and then hit the thesaurus on Microsoft Word. Whatever's the most douchey.
Yeah, they should have a douche thesaurus, so I can actually have a handle on that. So, as Neymar is just dribbling up the field, some fine individual for Mexico executes a slide tackle.
Ish.
We'll call it that. He slides. He's trying to kick the ball away from Neymar. Now, Neymar, I don't see. Oh, I see a touch of I see Neymar's foot actually graze this man's what appears to be his stomach. Okay, and he slides. Now he slides fine. It's not like a tumble slide, like I would fall or Nader Tot would fall, like where we would just do curls and our legs would end up in the air or something like that. This guy's on the ground, just sliding on the grass, and he finishes his slide and just reaches his hand. What's funny is he reaches his left hand like he's going to grab his butt, and then he forgets and goes, nope, I'll use my right hand and grab my back.
in
the most extreme agony you could imagine.
Now watch, the second guy, he hits his back lightly right there, and that's why he freaks out.
Yeah.
He gets tripped and right there.
There!
Oh my God. And
freak
does.
Out. Oh, he's like, oh man, I got touched.
Unreal.
I'm a paraplegic now.
And I
can't get up.
So this flop, and they don't show the outcome, nor does anybody care. But that is, I think that's commonplace.
It really is.
That's a daily occurrence in soccer. Soccer matches.
The lightest grazing or touching of any part of the body by the opposing team is full license to get theatrical and dramatic and try and stop the game so you can get a breather.
Now, I think every sport has a flopping. Problem. I wouldn't say a problem. Hockey, it's an issue, but and it's not called most times anymore. I don't see it. I feel like that's on the downturn.
The thing is with hockey is there's fighting, and that's allowed.
Yes.
And so if you're a flopper in hockey, you're going to get your ass kicked.
But can you imagine now? You see hockey, not even breakaways, just standard plays where the defender is just constantly trailing, literally wrapping his stick on your legs as you skate up the ice.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine just,
that would be awesome.
One soccer player just kind of reaching behind him, just touches on his arm. Guy does a big, a backflip and then lands and grabs his arm or something.
Guy gets a little...
That's the equivalent.
Guy gets a little disoriented with the spatial, where everyone is at on the field. His teammate comes and taps him on the back. He's like, hey, man, dude flies.
Thinks it's an opponent and starts grabbing anywhere on his body.
Just immediately throws his head into the ground, concusses himself.
I want to see someone trip and get touched, whatever, in the back, but then, grab his foot or grab a shoulder or something like that that doesn't even match up on the body.
I want to see him take it to the next level. The next time they get a drink of water, they grasp their throat like it's on fire.
Yes.
Like they just drink gasoline.
You want to be a thespian, keep it off the field as well. I want to see you play that character everywhere. That's awesome. Well, we've talked about the University of Kentucky. We've talked about some mongrel people.
Keep talking, Kyle.
We've talked about the mongrels in the world.
It's the wedding march.
That's what it is.
Oh, I had no idea.
I still don't know.
I was giving background music.
I'll be honest. I thought you were going for a Kentucky fight song. I was like, okay, I don't know.
That would have been a nice pull.
It would have, because who knows?
Now, if we were to describe two State of Kentucky true bloods to get married to each other. Well, I think TJ had a semi-front seat to that. I mean, you went to...
I did.
You went to, was it West Virginia?
West Virginia? Drove through West Virginia. We didn't stop anywhere there because...
Why would you?
No. Because, duh, you just start losing brain cells.
Yeah. So, you would have an idea of what we would think about two Kentucky true bloods getting married. They're going to be mongrels.
And we're not talking horses, folks. This is not true blood horses.
No, this is not this is not the majestic animal.
Maybe these are Kentucky thoroughbreds. Who knows?
Maybe. Well, these wedding images that we're looking at right now sure live up to the hype. Now, the University of Kentucky, huge, really big fan base. I mean, it's a athletic powerhouse in football, becoming in football, the number one recruiting class incoming as of now.
Really?
Yeah. And
no.
Yes. And in basketball. So, and basketball's been that way for quite some time. Obviously now a little higher than pre-Calipari, but
yep.
This is something that I can't imagine this girl woke up any day in her childhood or young adulthood and said, I just dreamed of my wedding day, Ma. Me, my redheaded fiance.
Me, Earl.
My redheaded fiance with...
And her boys, Clint.
Is that a haircut or is that just a weird tan?
I would... No, that is a chin strap beard.
Well, I mean, the... Oh, he's like a marine hair, very short, red hair. Ma, I want to get married to him, my love, in my Kentucky jersey. Well, that's what this couple decided to do. Now, her not in her Kentucky jersey, although I'm sure it's...
She's too classy for a
jersey. Oh, yeah. Why would you get married in a Kentucky jersey, guys, when you could just throw on your finest blue and white tube top? And push those puppies down and really accentuate your features.
Now, what you can't see here is in the back of this tube top, the blue part is tied like a curtain.
Oh,
she
yeah.
She just took the curtains down.
Yeah, that's all she did. Now, what she also probably did is clothespin the fat all in her back as well, so ooh, that didn't show up in the picture.
That's gross.
Plus, her and her man got some fresh ink before the ceremony. She completed the shoulder to elbow portion of her sleeve.
And he
got her name tattooed across his neck.
Yeah, everybody knows the classiest place to get your wedding tattoo is on your neck. Now, I think you're selling her a little bit too classy there, Nate, because if you look closely, that tattoo easily stretches into boob territory.
Oh.
It's
okay.
Wicked hot.
I did not even look that far.
That's elbow to shoulder all the way down to boob, and that, my friends, is hot.
You know they toast it after with cans of Bush Light.
I mean, that's a sex pot. That's the only way to describe what we're looking
oh,
at.
Oh, God, you just you enlarged
it. I got it,
it
enlarged.
You enlarged it.
Now, the saddest photograph of all is easily, it looks like they got married. I wouldn't even call this a courthouse, although I'm assuming it is, because it simply looks like someone's living room. And the saddest photo of all is what I'm assuming is friends?
Kids.
No,
yeah.
They're not old enough to have two.
Yes.
Yep.
This kid, he's almost as old as him.
No, they're, yep.
They're
kids.
Children. Okay.
He knocked her up when she was 15.
Mm-hmm. 15? I was thinking 12.
Maybe. Okay. We'll say 12.
It's Kentucky. Mom gave permission.
And it took them 20 years to save up for the ring.
Well, in that case, she looks good for 35. She looks really nice.
They commissioned their finest photographer with his disposable Kodak.
Yeah, they did. I hear you can get those for $4.99 now at the local depot.
I mean, there's so much poverty in this photo. Understandable, though, because tattoos are expensive,
yeah.
And she's got a lot of ink.
Listen, rent, boob tat. You decide.
Which one are you going to pick? Come on, America.
Yeah. We all know where
no,
you...
No. They don't pay rent. They own their own trailer and property. A little small parcel next to the creek.
No. They don't own. They pay to a landlord who comes by every month and kicks the door yelling drunk at them. And they throw out 250s and she shows those cans. And they call that rent.
230 packs. 230 packs and
230
one
packs,
lap dance.
230 packs and a half smoked pack of Pall Malls. And she shows them her cans. And that's rent.
That's a deal because later in the night when they hit up the bar where she works and her boss is her landlord, she has to pay, with another couple of dances there too.
Well, that's
not rent though. That's just work. She's just at work then.
Those are her work expenses.
Yeah.
All those gross used G-strings that they just pass on person to person.
Honey, get them things lubed up. The super's coming by. We gotta pay rent.
They would have actually got married at their trailer, but then they would have had to pack up all their meth equipment.
Damn it, honey. I told you, Tommy's 13. He's got to stop sucking on the teat. Now get them things ready for a presentation. But needless to say, this final, the first photo they show is husband and wife happy in all of their poverty. And then their two children. One looks like, well, like you said, instant disposable camera. One looks like he got beaten over the head and dragged there. Mm-hmm. And he already looked a little bit touched to begin with. And the other one,
he's definitely been slapped in the head a few times to go get dad a beer.
Yeah, and it looks like,
damn it, boy!
How many times I gotta tell you?
I said Bush Light, not Bush Heavy.
What it look like, some mongrel to you?
I'm watching my girlish figure.
And make it.
Gotta make sure I fit into my look of jersey for game time. Coach might call me at any minute.
In my mind, the conversation pre-ceremony went, all right, now you two boys know this is my wedding day, so you know damn well you ain't wearing the home jerseys.
This is the
you put on the road blues.
This is the jersey I was wearing when John Wall signed. It's my lucky jersey, and I'm gonna get lucky tonight.
And this here condom is the one I was wearing when Calipari came on board. Circle of life, sir.
Hey,
take a lesson.
Hey, this is my great granddaddy's number when Adolph Rupp was at the helm here at Kentucky. It's cool. If you just wash them out, you can reuse them. We're teaching you fiscal responsibility, boys. Take
notes.
Now,
this thing's sanitary. The more condoms you save, the more Bush Light with camo cans that you can purchase.
Take your pick. Condoms or beer. I know which one I'm going with.
Yeah. And let me tell you, one has to do with your mother.
And let me tell you, there's really only a 50-50 chance if you don't wear a condom at all. So,
really, scientists have called it a coin toss. They don't even effectively know if they work.
And they're supposed to be smart.
And look at me. I'm here the one making wise decisions. So there you have it. A true blue Kentucky wedding. That's
how it happened. It's like we were there.
I tell you what. If there's a book written about what happened there, we just reenacted the first few chapters.
If there was a wedding to be crashed, we just did it.
Oh, yeah. I can only hope the divorce pictures are half as lovely, because they surely will have her face beaten to what I assume is a pulp.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Him appearing the same, but really sweaty. And then, like...
Eyes crossed. Duh.
And a BAC of at least 0.25.
And the kid's crying.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, the special one. The other one's already on his own, sown as wild oats.
I know what those names on the neck are. All his ex-wives.
Oh, that's true. Third time's a charm, honey. Let's get this thing on the back of the neck. Hey, can you pencil me on your boob anywhere? It's got to fit, right? Fine, just initials. See if you can squeeze it in, right around the nip.
Okay, fine. We'll get my name on the back of your neck so I can look at it.
Call it a landing pad. That's okay. All. That's all there is for
that's
that.
That's all you get.
That's it.
Anything more will cost you.
Too much jokes. Yeah, we'll charge per joke for Kentucky wedding jokes. We'll charge you. You have to donate to the PayPal account, and we'll charge you per joke. Well, you know, I think it was it the last time we were here, TJ, we talked about Greg Popovich, or was it when we were all three here?
Nope, last time.
Last time we were here, we talked about Greg Popovich and how he's not exactly known for his friendly, over-talky demeanor on the sidelines and going into halftime and after the game. He's the Bill Belichick of the NBA, but I actually enjoy watching Popovich work. He makes me laugh.
Some people would describe Greg Popovich as dickish.
The majority of people would describe Greg Popovich as dickish.
I think the difference between Greg Popovich and Bill Belichick is Greg Popovich seems to think this is funny. And you can see, like, a twinkle in his eye, like, he thinks it's funny. And if you, like, it's, people are pissed because they don't understand the joke that he's playing.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick just doesn't have a personality.
I think Popovich really enjoys doing this to media members.
He does. He looks for opportunities to just block them.
Yeah,
just.
And he's known for his short answers. And that's fine. But, you know, he'll answer you unless you ask a stupid question.
And this is... on the record, a stupid question.
Yeah, this is a very stupid question, and we'll play it for you, and, well, we'll recap the question when you hear it.
Coach Steve Kuyler, USA Today.
Already a problem. USA Today is a terrible newspaper that is only meant for hotel doorsteps.
That's true. Can't argue with that.
What do you do for Game 7? How do you get your guys into Game 7?
Whew.
That's
I don't know. I was thinking about changing everything.
You can tell dude is just going to journalism 101.
Yeah.
And he's trying to ask an open-ended question to get him to talk.
Yeah.
But really, it's a closed-ended question.
Yeah, that really
And he just
is.
Gets hammered.
Yeah, this is the dumbest question you could ask.
How can you get him ready for Game 7? Because I don't know how you guys are going to handle going back to home for Game 8 and 9.
Hey, Coach, how do you feel after a loss? Hey, Coach, what do you really do to make someone shoot better? You know, like, what should you do next time to win the game? And that's what
now. Do you think your halftime speech maybe had any kind of issue with how the players got fired up for the third quarter?
Or? Do you think that his halftime and the way he treats his players in the locker room is similar to the way he treats media?
Coach, Coke or Pepsi?
Why would you ask me a question like that, you idiot? I would love to hear stories of Greg Popovich behind the curtain.
I wonder if he actually would rail someone for that or just say Coke or Pepsi. Because he does. He answers the questions.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Well, this is Popovich's answer to that real deep, thoughtful question.
I get him on a bus, and it arrives at the ramp over here. We get off the bus, we go on the court, and we play.
He does,
That's how
dude.
We get ready.
Okay, so that's Popovich's answer.
He does.
Now listen to the end of the answer, and then listen to the awesomeness for about 3 seconds afterwards from the media room.
We get ready.
In the back.
A deafening, deafening silence. I think the media is so terrified of him that they're afraid to laugh when he pulls those stunts now. And you know what? Maybe there's a sense of camaraderie. Like, can't laugh at him. Happened to me last week.
Gotta stick it to Pop this week.
I already got my battle wound. Can't laugh at him. He finally got his entry.
No, but Nader Todd is right. He really, you can see a twinkle in his eye. He just lines him up and knocks it out of the park.
Guys, into Game 7.
Look at this grin. See, he knows. He knows he's got him. That's the moment.
He was ready for that spiel because he sets his water down. He leans up. Going to get him on the bus. Points. That's over on the ramp.
It just has this grin the entire time.
Oh,
just,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Love him.
I hate him.
At the ramp over here.
I love it. I hope that if the Spurs lose or win, the press con, we can play some of the audio from the post game, no matter what, and it's similar to that. I want, you know, in a perfect world, we would not be able to know, or we would, you know, black ourselves out from who won the NBA championship.
Yeah.
And then we would play audio next week's podcast of Popovich after the game and be able to decide if they won or lost the game. I feel like that'd be identical.
That would be a fun game.
That would be.
Well, you guys can play it with me because I will not be watching the game tonight. Game 7.
Not even watching. It's still, in today's day and age, it's nearly impossible to do a major sports blackout like that.
Yeah, you can't.
You can't do it. You're going to walk onto a headline that just, you know, Spurs victory parade or Heat parade or, you know, whatever it may be.
On a more serious tone.
Oh, boy.
I don't think there has been any good questions since sports writers first came onto the scene.
No.
Every question now is a sports cliche.
It is.
Everyone.
It is.
No one has asked a good question ever.
I understand the frustration that Popovich and other coaches go through.
It's the same question every year.
Especially now, NFL coaches already have this, you know, going off at the half. It's similar to what NBA coaches have. Well, now did you see that the NFL is going to include in locker room halftime look-ins?
I did see that.
That I don't think a lot of people are going to... Good luck getting that in the Patriots one. Something tells me you're just going to see like a poster board of a smiley face and no audio when you look into the Patriots. It can't work. I mean, we don't listen. We understand. We as fans, we always want more, but we're not in the game. Let them do their thing. We just watch the action. I don't care what Popovich thought about a missed foul call and you know.
No, I'm not trying to be a head coach.
No.
Who cares?
Yeah.
I don't want to hear your adjustments because it's all going to be nonsense jargon.
It's either
football jargon.
It's either going to be overly nuts and bolts, or it's going to be a cliche answer to a cliche question.
Hey Tom,
we just got to work harder. You know, we got to come out with a fire in that third quarter, and you know, we got to minimize turnovers and shoot free throws better. Okay, good. So you want to do everything better. Wow.
Basically, yeah, basically.
Am I watching a live NBA game right now?
Yeah.
Are we watching live NBA?
Yeah, Greg Popovich.
My favorite one is we just got to make shots.
Yeah. Okay.
Make shots.
Well, in that case, put me in. I could be an NBA player. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Matt Stafford there. He's just going to have to throw the ball better. You know, that's all. Got to throw it. Got to get to the receiver.
Now, okay. Matt Stafford was supposed to call XYT fly go route, but he did XPJ slant.
Yeah.
You know, that's...
I mean, you guys don't even know.
No.
we don't.
This
and
probably
we
sounds
don't.
Like nonsense, but it's just...
You're right.
You just got to take it for my word.
Well, moving on, we just wanted to briefly mention this, and because you know what? I do read Pro Football Talk, not regularly. If there's a link that intrigues me, I'll click on it, mostly off of Twitter. I'll click on it, read their blurb. Now, for those of you who don't know or don't read, Pro Football Talk is a micro football site, which is essentially the first of its kind in terms of that it's a micro football site. And I call it it's a blog, I guess. I mean, it's not like a reporting site. Now, they do break some news, but they report that news with their own editorializing in it.
Like a lot of things, I don't personally read it. I hear it was better when it was its own thing.
Possibly.
Before NBC, you know, bought the rights. And of course, you know, now it's, you know, all the fluff stuff that everyone knows, but. Yeah, I don't ever read it, but everyone I know that loves football loves reading. It's one of their references. It's a commonplace for NFL fans.
It gets a lot of hits, and you'll hear that mentioned. Don't worry about that. It'll be mentioned. But the operator of Pro Football Talk, now he's a frequent Dan Patrick Show guest host, contributor. He works on, I believe, Sunday Night Football in America.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Florio. But he's also notorious Napoleon syndrome, little man syndrome. He is a little fella.
He doesn't even look tall in that photo.
No.
with no reference point.
He's cocky, and the only way to describe him is as a bit of a douche.
He looks that photo right there looks like if you held a quarter, if you put a quarter in for perspective, it would be as big as his head.
Yeah. Now, I follow Pro Football Talk on Twitter as well as a bunch of other national sports writers, and it's not rare that you'll see Florio get into a Twitter battle quite often with a Sports Illustrated writer, an ESPN writer, whatever it may be, and most of the time he comes off looking like a douche. And in this battle, you will as well. Now, this battle, though, the only difference is he gets into a Twitter feud. Not with a writer, not with an athlete, not with another blog.
Not with a troll on Twitter.
With a standard troll on Twitter. Not, you know, he gets into an argument with the Twitter account for the mascot of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Jacksonville.
And no wonder they don't succeed. What a terrible mascot name.
I get it. Jacksonville. But come on. Do better.
Well, Pro Football Talk they just had a link on Twitter about their stadium, which they are having massive stadium enhancements and renovations that are starting, I believe, next year, $65 million worth. Taking some seats out, not a bad thing for a blackout NFL team, but making, you know, really new video boards, which it seems like every stadium does nowadays, and all this. So I clicked on the article and I read, they described the video board as however many feet by 301 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And Florio mentioned 301 feet, you know, 1 foot longer than the actual field.
Which is incorrect.
Incorrect. Florio forgot that end zones exist in football,
right,
the sport his website covers.
Seems like something you'd have down.
So the Jaguars mascot just did a simple, you're an idiot, the field is 360 feet long.
Oh yeah, this is just a good troll.
That is, and you know what? How do you come back from that? You shouldn't be able, you just got really shamed on simple math.
Yeah.
Like, you look like a buffoon right now.
I think the hashtag moron is what pushed him over. That's like the hashtag hack.
Yeah.
As described in last week's episode, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and then he takes another jab. And I think this is the one that Florio got hyped up about. He just takes a jab at Pro Football Talk because instead of people Google searching the web themselves for articles about their team, they just go to Pro Football Talk and you can sort by team and all that fun stuff. And then so Florio does not like that. Props to you for finding a mild upgrade from your gig as Eric the Clown.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know who Eric the Clown is or if that's some point of relevance. But again, the mascot of the Jacksonville Jaguars takes the second round on my scorecard, gentlemen, with we're both seen as clowns, but I can take my suit off.
Mm-hmm. That was he, just peppering him right now, just punching daylights out of him.
In a lot of corners, Florio is looked at the same way I described him, as a bit of a pompous, arrogant douche who makes sports bloggers look poorly.
Just look at him. Just look at his stupid face, and I dare you not to want to punch it.
Yeah. And then Florio goes the time, the age-old tradition of, yeah, well, my page views are more than your page views.
I have more followers than you. Scoreboard.
Yeah, Darren Rovell style. I have more followers than you and things like that that are really, that's what set a person apart on the douche radar.
I mean, this is kind of like a scoreboard.
We'll yeah.
Talk to you later.
Yeah.
But this is douche version of scoreboard because
yeah,
the real
cares.
Because the real scoreboard is you're trading barbs here.
Yeah.
And right now, the Jacksonville Jaguars mascot is up 2-0.
Mm-hmm. And he says, well, you know, he responds pretentious much. And then you could tell Florio, then he realizes, hey, I'm Twitter feuding with a mascot account. Okay? I think he realized that because he kind of, not submits, Kitty has claws, row. But the mascot does not leave it there. And this is the knockout punch. Okay? Kitty has claws. And then the mascot writes, and other stuff. Difference between us. I can do your job. No chance you can do mine. Knockout. Knockout punch.
And then for the, you know, just to take a poop on his face while he's down, he sends another one out.
Yeah, he does. And with, you know what, normally I thought that would be his sign off as in, hey, you know, I could beat you up all night, but I got to go clean my litter box. But then he takes this one. I got important things to do, like cleaning my litter box. Now, that's where an amateur troll right. would click, period, yeah. and then enter, but not Jackson DeFille. Now, go copy and paste, he says, and really bust one off on Pro Football Talk right there, really on the chin. Florio had nothing. He had nothing.
No.
He left it alone.
It seems like Jackson DeFille might have a vendetta against Pro Football Talk.
Yeah.
But that's just my speculation.
Oh, absolutely. Just a spectacular beatdown of a guy who deserved it. Now, somebody could do similar or worse to Darren Rovell on Twitter. This world might just start being a better place.
Maybe.
One Twitter handle by one Twitter handle.
You know what it's going to take for the world to be rid of Darren Rovell? Someone needs to stop paying him.
Ooh, you're looking at you, ESPN.
Yeah.
Looking at
Get
you.
Get on it. You want everyone to come back to your network and stop hating? All it takes.
Mm-hmm.
It's one firing.
Well, we've talked about Manziel, and you know what, TJ? I don't regret saying what I did because back then I think I did believe it as, you know what, the kid's living it up. I had nothing wrong with what he does. I really, and I still don't to a degree. Clubbing, gambling, whatever. You're of age. Do what you want. I don't care. Your family's loaded. You're a Heisman winner. I would do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to plow your way through half of the women of Texas, I have nothing to say to you. I want to shake your hand.
Who would want to do that?
True.
Disgusting.
True. That's a lot of work. Texas, big area.
Think of all the time you could use watching film.
Yeah.
Or like getting in the gym and bench pressing.
Yeah.
Throwing a couple extra practice passes, you know, really working on your aim and accuracy.
You know what real quarterbacks do? They sit in the backyard and they throw footballs through empty tires.
Yeah. When you're a child all the way through high school because you're in Texas and you play for Dillon.
Hey, Matt Saracen did that and look it. He was a state champion.
And then he went to Chicago for art school and he didn't really do anything in football.
Look at Vince.
Right.
He didn't even throw it in a tire, and he's head quarterback of the Dillon Superstars. That's right.
We're off topic. That is firmly off topic.
No, it's not. It's sports.
Well, I believe it was, we can say it was less than a week ago now that Johnny Manziel, who he catches heat. We talked about it, you know, the photos of him doing stuff. One of the more recent stories was him sitting courtside at a basketball game and him responding to people, oh, how do you have all the money for this? I told you, my family's rich. Like, it's not an issue for them. So be it. I can't, like I said, I can't fault the guy for it. Well, this tweet sent at, 1:30 in the morning. BS like tonight is a reason why I can't wait to leave College Station, .. whenever it may be.
Wow.
Now, College Station, obviously the home of Texas A&M, the university he just won a Heisman Trophy for. And needless to say, that ruffles a few feathers. You're the Heisman winner, a college athlete, and you bust off a little nugget of knowledge like that. Well, so needless to say, he got some heat for that. And he deleted it pretty quickly and then gave some, BS response. Oh, I'm really happy to be here, whatever it may be. Well, this is where in my mind, and like I said, this is where the tide turns against Johnny Manziel, and I cannot be even remotely supportive of what he is anymore, because now he's just coming off as a bit of a douche. This is the same guy who on Twitter weeks ago, he throws big complaints. And I believe the exact words he wrote were, "Come walk a day in my shoes and then talk about it." Well, that doesn't go over well with a lot of folks who aren't inherently wealthy.
Yeah, this is a bit of an issue here.
And takes all online classes that you probably get the nerd down the road to take for you so you can just focus on football.
Now, I say the tide's turning against Manziel because now there's a news report also this week about him. Oh, yeah, he was nearly suspended before the 2012 season, threatened to transfer, so they didn't suspend him. If this isn't a telltale sign that college athletics, they're not being paid, but sports, all sports are becoming run by athletes. We talk about being coach killers in the NBA quite a bit. There's reputations for that.
Mm-hmm.
And, divas in every sport. And that's what Manziel's coming off as. So he throws that complaint. And a lot of people obviously, why would he say that? What's the problem? Well, he got a parking ticket. Parking ticket makes him want to leave college. This is the same guy who's sitting courtside at an NBA game, and he's going to complain about a 20 or however many dollar parking ticket.
Yep, couple of things here, shifting perspectives for me. Obviously, he's not being paid to go to College Station. Obviously, yeah, he's telling the truth. His parents are rich.
Yeah.
Because of the way he acts, like spoiled little brat
the
time.
He does. He acts like that guy who, young and naive and doesn't know, why are you wearing Abercrombie when you're younger? It's like he doesn't know. He doesn't realize how the rest of us live.
He expects everything to be given to him.
And then when he gets a parking ticket, and what's really sad is when I read this article earlier today, comments so supportive of him. Oh, that guy knew what he was doing, that officer. Now, what Manziel did, he was on vacation somewhere else. Of course, college life is rough. Why not take a vacation? And he left his car on the street parked in the wrong direction. So he got a parking ticket. Simple. It's simple. And what is a parking ticket? Let's say at most, even in a college campus, let's say at most 50 for a parking ticket.
Oh, wow.
And I think that's really high.
Yeah, that's pretty high.
But I'm adjusting for any type of thing that may happen.
A lot of times, depending on the situation, like if you're parked in the wrong lot, 20. Boom.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. But if you're parked on the grass in front of the study hall, probably 50.
Yeah. So let's say it's 50 bucks. You're telling me he's going to throw a hissy about that on Twitter. And it came out that he'd been fishing in Port Aransas, whatever, still on the coast when he talked over the phone to an officer who wrote him a ticket for being parked the wrong way in front of his house and for his windows being tinted too dark. And he throws a hissy. So like I said, I think this is where we see it. And for me, this isn't the last straw, but reading everything that I don't follow him on Twitter, but he gets these sports blogs articles written about him now because of the way he acts and responds to people. I think the tide has definitely turned on Manziel for me. Not a fan.
No.
Definitely not a fan.
Great thing about this ticket, though. A cop really just is pissed off at you when he throws in the, "Your windows are tinted too dark."
Yeah.
Because how many times do you see cops just like, let it go? But if they hate you and you're giving them attitude, sir, looks like your windows are tinted too dark too. Ooh, that's another $50 on top of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think The officer
but parking
did
in the
wrong.
Wrong in the wrong direction, anyone can understand what direction you're supposed to be parked in.
It's not difficult. You don't. Yeah, you don't go against traffic when you park. It's not science.
Where in America is that cool? Yeah. Nowhere.
Yeah. Hey, I'm lazy. I don't want to turn my car around. I'm just going to park this way.
Hey, I'm going to park my awesome Bentley the wrong way on the road,
yeah.
Guys.
And you know what? They don't say what the car is, but I can almost promise you it's within 2 years old. And you know it's got special rims on it. They already said it was tinted windows.
Well, here's the thing, Kyle. This is probably the first time in Johnny Football's life that he's ever had to drive himself around.
True.
He probably doesn't know the rules.
You guys don't get it. Walk a day
it's
in my
so
shoes.
Hard.
Live a day in my shoes and drive this car. You got to put gas in it?
Make it to your destination safely every time.
People don't do that for you here?
You guys don't even know how hard it is to push that start button to make the car start.
Mm. God, it's rough.
My air conditioning doesn't really get as cold as I'd like it to sometimes. It is rough, man. Sometimes I have to roll the windows down.
You don't even know, okay? You have to let that thing cool down.
You know how hot it is in Texas?
You know how long it takes for air-conditioned seats to turn on, too? It's like 30 seconds, man. This is Texas.
It takes a good 5 seconds for my stereo to turn on and get bumping.
Ugh.
That's 5 seconds I could have been jacked.
I don't got time.
When I bought this car, when my parents bought this car, it didn't even come with an iPhone cord.
Yeah,
can you believe that?
Buy one. $7. Okay? What do I look like to you?
Unbelievable. Do I look like I'm made of money? I'm a college athlete.
Yeah.
I only get paid in tuition and housing and food.
Stupid parents.
And abortions and tattoos. iPhone cords aren't part of the deal.
Come on, NCAA, quit screwing me.
There's no convenient place to put my condoms.
Yeah, yeah, I got a 130-pack Costco.
I'm a poor college student. Well, what?
This Costco store is really amazing. I hope there's more of them that pop up across the country. I've never been in one.
Yeah. I made someone go in and get it for me. Well, you know, I can safely account. I can't account for Nate, I'm assuming, but I can account for TAJ and I, and I in the saying that we do a fair amount of sports bar visiting. We enjoy a good event at a sports bar.
Let's say the NCAA tournament.
Let's hypothetically say the NCAA tournament. And if you don't know what we're talking about, you need to go watch the most recent total team effort. But the one thing, I don't know, and I've never done it, and I think, as crass as I come off on this podcast and in real life, because I am that way, I don't think I'm as big of a douche to be able to do what these people did.
I could never do it. I could never do it.
Only if I was at a restaurant, not necessarily a sports bar, a restaurant where I received especially, especially poor service, and then I would talk to somebody different anyway about the service that happened. I wouldn't just leave a poor tip.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing with tipping. I will always do 20%.
Yeah.
And that's you, all you have to do is be average.
That's minimum.
And I'll give you 20.
Yeah.
If you're garbage, I'll give you 10.
It's difficult to be not tipped. And by difficult, I mean nearly impossible. Nader Tot, where do you fall on the lines of tipping at a sports bar?
He's cheap. He is cheap.
Are you a bad
dude.
Tipper?
He makes me sick.
I'm not a bad tipper.
Oh!
He makes me sick, Kyle.
Okay, well, hang on. Let's just do a quick experiment. There's this story we'll get into. There's
right.
Three receipts. Let's just say this middle receipt. Round up, we'll call it $26.
Okay.
What are you going to tip? Sports bar, you've been there, let's say, 3 hours, 3.5 hours, had a couple of beers, your meal.
And it's 26? I'll put at least $5 down.
I don't believe you. I don't believe you.
An open accusation of deceit.
A long time, if I'm there for a long time and it's good, I'll tip you well.
Okay.
But what these people did, I would never do because I know waitresses don't have – most of them don't have the power to do what they ask.
Exactly.
And I understand that.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you go to these places and you have to speak to the manager and the manager's on a power trip and he's like, I'm not going to do that because I don't like it.
Yeah.
So I'm not gonna take it out on you because that's not your problem.
Well, it's a bit of a dumpy sports bar. Now, we'll get into the story right here. Now, when you think of hockey hotbeds, you don't really think of anywhere near Florida.
No.
Ever.
No.
But you know, there are fans. There are hockey fans. It's still a
hockey fans in Florida, I think, are the old people that are coming from Canada down for the winter.
Maybe.
And those people tip well because old people always tip well.
Yeah, maybe. So they just say there's this sports bar, Shoney's, somewhere in Panama City, Florida. Well, Panama City kind of gives it away that it's not old people.
Right. Yeah.
Also, old people move to Sarasota.
Also, why did they move down to Florida in the summer from Canada?
Logic. You lose.
Old people stay in Florida for the winter, and maybe they're just, I don't want to go to Canada quite yet. I want to stay down here.
Okay, fair. So needless to say, these three patrons went to the Shoney's sports bar, and they wanted to watch the NHL finals, which, I don't know, even if you're the dumpiest of sports bars, you just put sports on, and the biggest sport thing on whatever night, probably going to be that. It's a finals matchup.
Yeah, sidebar. Also, I don't know a lot of old people that go to sports bars, but
that is true.
It's not an environment they approve of.
Well, one, it's not Denny's, and two, it's after 3 o'clock, so their dinner's already been consumed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe these are the hip ones.
Yeah. Do you see on these receipts where it says 9 p.m.? They're already in bed, dude.
Oh my god.
They're already in bed.
Yeah. They won't even know about this place because it's not lit up in the day, so they just drive past it and think it's an old furniture store.
And they're gonna tear this down.
Yeah. This abandoned building's a real eyesore. So they went there, and now what happened was they requested their waitress to turn on the Stanley Cup Finals game. She said, okay, sure, I'll go ask the bartender to do that, because that's the way it works in the bar. You can't just give 48 remotes to your different waitresses and say, they're already waitresses, it's already.
Yeah.
I think they can navigate these numbers, let alone remotes?
You're already starting behind the eight ball. If I accuse a sliding scale.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Waitresses
yeah.
are going to.
Listen, if there's a bell curve in the world, I think we can all agree where this woman's probably going to fit on. And I'm on her side in this debate, but we all know what side of the curve she's on.
Shout out to my sister. Have fun waitressing tonight.
Poor timing. Good luck. Have a good night. So she goes up to the bartender and says, hey, can you turn that, one of my tables wants to know if you can turn the hockey game on. Now, you'll see this, too, though. Oh, there's some bartenders who are douches.
Oh, absolutely.
That happens. Now, a lot... 85% of the time, never an issue. But there are those outliers that try to ruin it for everybody else. And now apparently this was one of those guys. He didn't turn on the hockey game. He didn't do it.
There's a legitimate chance he did not know what hockey is.
Yes.
Because like we said, they're in Florida.
Yeah. It's whatever. Yeah, it's Florida. This guy probably has never seen a stick or ice in his life. Okay? So he doesn't turn the hockey game on. Now, instead of them simply going to the bartender, them simply talking to a manager, or asking again to the waitress and having her go up again after a few minutes when it doesn't turn on, they waited out their time there. They stayed there. What looks like one, maybe two meals.
It might have been that happy hour where you get a pizza and then some nachos, and then at the end of happy hour you get another pizza.
Who would ever do such a terrible, weird thing to their bodies in one small happy hour portion?
It's pretty animalistic.
So they did. They took it out on the waitress. Now, this is what the problem is, though, is because as soon as receipts go online, waitresses get fired, because that is a big no-no in the restaurant world. But we can all thank them for posting them, because I always enjoy looking at them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the first receipt, 11:37. And then it looks like this person had zero written down. And then, but instead... Now, this is what makes me laugh, because what they wanted to do was just tip up to the next dollar, 64 cents.
Yeah.
64 plus 37 is an extra penny, you dumb dicks. So this person...
You'll notice this is Elena.
Female.
Yep. Just a woman with a small brain.
Science. So they actually... Trying to stiff her, I actually tipped her a penny too much. But yes, an 11:37, only 64 cents. Next to it, should have put Stanley Cup on.
... And,
so
then
again,
and then she circles a blank spot on the check.
That was her trying to get the pen working.
Oh.
Notice she crossed out a lot.
Yeah. Now, the second one is the most egregious, is the $25.98. And this is the guy who was apparently going to impress the women. Yeah? Well, show them bimbo, that bimbo that... I'm the man here, and you don't disrespect me.
So he tips 0.00025.98. Doesn't write anything.
Super
though.
Douchey. 0.000. Oh. When in the hell has currency ever been calculated?
Oh, you a-hole.
To the thousandth.
I hate these people. And then the third one, $9.12, tipped 88 to make the actual even dollar. And then a star should have changed the channel.
Now, this last receipt is the one I want to get into.
Okay.
Because I have seen Nader Tot do this exact thing.
You
just go to the nearest dollar. Yeah.
Eek. The nearest dollar? See, I tip because most of the time I pay via card.
Right.
And my tip will always be $4 and whatever cents to make it an even dollar.
That's what I'll do. If we're at a bar a short time, I will always put a dollar and then I'll get the cents to round that up to the nearest dollar. Because we've been there for like maybe 20 minutes. You got me one beer.
Let's say you go to a bar.
Okay.
And it's kind of a self-serve bar. You're going up, you're going to pay by the drink. You go up to the bar.
Okay.
Pours you a beer. Okay. $3.50.
Okay.
What are you doing?
I pay him $3.50. I tip him at the end of the night. I always try to find the same bartender.
You just give him $1.50, Nate. You give him $1.50. I can't believe we're going to have a crash course. I think next year's NCAA tournament, someone's going to have to sit next to us and just, we'll have to hold his hand.
Well, if I'm here for the NCAA tournament next year.
Yeah, we'll have to hold his hand and show him the way, TJ.
I know.
So needless to say, we don't have an update on this, but yeah, if you do this, you need to go eat one. If you're that type of person, if you're Nader Tot Light, you need to eat one.
This is unacceptable behavior.
It is.
We as a society, as a country, are better than this.
Mm-hmm.
This is not American.
We need to be better than that. You're at a... Ugh. Of course, listen, you own a bus went off. Bus went off on the bar. A sports bar that doesn't have the Stanley Cup Finals on. Not the waitress trying to pay for a boob job.
One TV. She's just trying to get that tramp stamp. I mean, what the hell?
She's just trying to finish up her GED.
I got a kid at home. I'm trying
to put myself through cosmetology school.
What's that, $80? Here's a thing of makeup. Go throw it on the doll.
They're having a deal right now. If I pay an extra $20, I get my hair beauty supply school as well.
It's a tuition. It's for a year.
High from the heavens, looking down on all of us measly fans, it's your weekly Timothy Richard Tebow statistical update. Keeping you up to date with God's favorite backup quarterback.
This is easily the most rewarding and satisfying TRT update that I think we've ever given.
Yeah. No. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
28 volumes deep.
After spending all of the year.
Torturous.
I don't know. You can't even call it purgatory because it was straight hell.
It was.
It'd be hell for anyone.
Yeah.
But especially a man as angelic as Timothy Richard Tebow.
Well, we have some news.
Glorious news.
You know,
this was prophesied.
It was. We told you that we're probably not going to have anything to say until the next opportunity comes along. We said when that New York Jets door closed, it wasn't the end. It was just the beginning. And sure enough,
exact words.
Our very own angel on this earth, Timothy Richard Tebow, has been signed to a 2-year contract by the New England Patriots. No better place to succeed. No better place to be diversified and used to his proper abilities.
If Timothy Richard Tebow is the second coming, then Tom Brady's John the Baptist. What better man to set Tim Tebow free than Tom Brady?
So true. There were times where it appeared down and out. Maybe Timothy's last opportunity had come and gone.
And here's the thing. Yeah, I get it. It's a veteran's minimum contract. No guaranteed money. But Jesus worked as a carpenter.
He did.
Jesus fed 5,000.
He's a man of the people.
You want to know what Jesus didn't do? Ask for anything in return for all these miracles and blessings he gave out.
I think there's only a few people that can be said of the same guard as that. And I think we're talking about one right now.
And you know what's going to happen. It's inevitable. Tom Brady's going to tear his ACL again. Ryan Mallett will be busted for drug possession.
At Aaron Hernandez's home.
And I don't know. I'm kind of blacking out right now. It's just coming to me. All this is coming to me. It's all happening.
Bring it down.
Damn it, Richard Tebow will step in week 7.
I was going to say 7.
A bold prediction that the New England Patriots...
A sign. And a sign from above. That not only the New England Patriots will win the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. but Timothy Richard Tebow will steamroll the competition. He will make miracles happen all over the field, all over this country. He will heal this country. We will be united under the Timothy Richard Tebow guidance.
He'll first task himself with bringing together a divided New England Patriots locker room who some don't like him. Some are too busy shooting people in the head. Other people are partying and having 18 surgeries in 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
The glue. It's going to bring them all together,
now,
guys.
Now, you know when that playoff game gets played in Gillette Stadium out there in mm-hmm. Foxborough. It'll be snowy, but there'll be one man rising above, walking on top of it.
Mm-hmm. He's not going to get bogged down.
And that's where he will shine. He'll have that advantage over everyone, and he'll run all over the field. Everyone else will be tripping and falling over themselves. Not him.
It'll look like he's floating.
It will look like an elegant gazelle galloping the Sahara.
Only with better biceps. Only with better biceps.
Duh.
Timothy Richard Tebow, round 2 starts right now, folks. Get ready. It's going to be a show.
I will, we will meditate
mm-hmm.
and await guidance on the issue of where you should draft him this year in your fantasy football draft, but just initial thoughts, I'm thinking 1.
Well, if he slips out of the top 5, you're getting a steal. Write that down. That's another two episodes
preview.
In a row now, free advice.
Preview.
Timothy Tebow, the second coming, starts now. Finally, you know, a TRT with some positive overtones.
Mm-hmm.
Finally.
I swear, though, if you even attempt to use him at tight end, Bill Belichick, the wrath of God Almighty
yeah.
will be brought down upon you. You will not make the playoffs if Tim Tebow plays tight end.
No. That's that and much, much more to come in the coming weeks. I figure we're probably 3 to 4 weeks away, TJ, from starting to break down some real fantasy football impact on the season.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to get into the X's and O's, a little long-form nuts and bolts talk. That's right around the corner. I'm giddy.
Yeah, you know, I'm not really as hardcore NFL as you, so I literally just found this out yesterday. Mm-hmm. Did you know that Ahmad Bradshaw was signed by the Indianapolis Colts?
He has a long stay. That for a while there, talks fell apart, but he did sign. A good signing, if I could say so myself. The Colts team, dire yep. need of a good running back. Donald Brown, Joseph Addai, not going to cut it. Okay.
Is Joseph Addai still there?
I thought he was. Now, I don't know if Ahmad Bradshaw is going to do the job, but he's a grinder. He can palm between the tackles, and he can pick up a block so Andrew Luck doesn't get murdered.
And get this, Rashard Mendenhall plays for the Arizona Cardinals.
Can you believe that?
No, I just found that out today.
A draft bust, I think you can say, by the Steelers.
Yeah, he had that one good year.
Well, that's all we got for this week, folks. Thanks for tuning in. Like I mentioned, be on the lookout. Send your fantasy advice questions at RidingThePine3 on Twitter, RidingThePine1@gmail.com, or Facebook.com/RidingThePine. And we'll get into that in the coming weeks. Much, much more. Thanks for tuning in. Is that all you guys got?
Yeah. This is... Wow, that just flew by. I just got to say.
It feels like a breeze. For
Wait,
DJ and... Oh.
Let's... Maybe we will get yelled at. We're about to end.
Okay,
maybe someone
on.
Just...
We're in the final seconds. I don't see any faces in the window yet, but I figure a cleaning crew member might make a pass by.
I don't see any creepiness or feel
yeah.
creepy aura.
Yeah, and you don't even sit on this side, which
right.
makes it double. Ugh. Glad that's over. Until next time, you've been listening to Riding the Pine.